The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. One of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you?" And they paid him 30 pieces of silver. And from that time on, he looked for an opportunity to hand Jesus over. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples approached Jesus and said, "Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And he said to them, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time draws near. In your house I shall celebrate the Passover with my disciples.'" The disciples then did just as Jesus had told them and prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he reclined at table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, "Amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me." Deeply distressed, they began each of them, one after the other, saying, "Surely it is not I, Lord." And he said in reply, "He who has dipped his hand into the dish with me is the one who will betray me. For the Son of Man indeed goes, as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better for him if he had never been born." Then Judas, his betrayer, said in reply, "Surely it is not I, Rabbi." And he answered, "You have said so." The Gospel of the Lord. We are prompted in today's Gospel reading to look at Judas and to have some understanding of how he fits into salvation history here in the life of Jesus. Keeping in mind that when the scriptures are written, they're written in a context, in an historical context, and Judas is viewed in a certain way, especially in the Gospel of Matthew. We're reading from Matthew today. Matthew is the only gospel that tells us that after Jesus had been arrested and was led off toward his execution, Judas repented. He went back to the temple, to the high priests, and he threw back the money, but they would not take it. Read on in Matthew in chapter 27 here, and you'll find that Matthew says, they refused to take the blood money, and therefore they used it to purchase a field, the potter's field, called Hakeldama. And if you go to Jerusalem today, your guide will point out more or less where this field was set on the outskirts of Jerusalem at the time, in the valley of Hebron, the valley of Haran. And however, there is a very honored tradition in scripture scholarship to read Judas in a different way, a highly respected tradition. And that is that Judas didn't really want Jesus to die, but Judas knew the power that Jesus had. He knew his divine power. And he was challenging Jesus to exercise his divine power over the chief priests and the Pharisees and over anybody who would condemn him. It wasn't so much he wanted Jesus to be destroyed. He wanted Jesus to exercise his divine power. It puts Judas in a slightly different light. And when it turned out that Jesus did not exercise his divine power to overcome his suffering and his execution, then Judas despaired, and he went back And he threw the money back, they didn't take it, and Matthew, and only Matthew, tells us he hanged himself. There's one other small reference in the first chapter of the book of Acts about the death of Judas. Otherwise, that's all we know. Now, take a look at Judas in a different way. It wasn't that he wanted to betray Jesus in the worst kind of way. He wanted to test Jesus. That's a different way to understand him. His biggest crisis was he could not accept the humanity of Jesus Christ. He couldn't accept a suffering Messiah. He wanted a triumphant Messiah. He wanted an all-conquering Messiah. And when Jesus comes among us as a suffering Messiah, one who would take on all our humanity except sin, Judas could not accept this kind of Messiah. And by the way, he was not unique in that sense. The other disciples also despaired of Jesus. They abandoned him because they were looking for a powerful, powerful Messiah, a triumphant Messiah. They were not satisfied with a suffering Messiah. So you'll find that over and over again in the scriptures. After the transfiguration, when Jesus shows his glory to Peter, James, and John, coming down from the mountain, he cautions them, don't tell anybody about this until the Son of Man is risen, because you won't understand the Messiah until you have experienced the resurrection. Jesus must suffer, but Jesus will rise and conquer the world. And only when you have seen Jesus suffering, and then you have experienced the resurrection, only then will you truly understand who the Messianic Jesus is. Take a second look at Judas, therefore. He's the person who makes this horrendous mistake and then totally despairs. Peter, on the other hand, looked in the face of Jesus and denied that he ever knew him in his time of crisis. But Jesus forgives Peter and reconciles Peter, even though his sin was probably worse than the sin of Judas betraying Jesus. So Judas deserves a second look. He deserves somehow more of our understanding. And ultimately, somehow, in the mysterious divine providence in which we all believe, the love of God is infinite, and the love of God embraces all people. Therefore, there is no theology ever in the church, in all our theology about sin and condemnation, there is no theology that ever said anybody went to hell. That has never appeared in the theology of the church. The theology of hell is there, but that any special individual went to hell does not appear in the tradition of the church because of the infinite love of God. So we might be kindly enough to Judas. He was a tragic figure, and he appears as part of our salvation history.